Those who control their tongue, those that do what? Control their tongue will have a long life. What if you don't control your tongue? You're going to have a shorter one. Is that what he's saying? You know, we read this and we don't believe this stuff. We don't know. We just have a problem believing that this book is, God is behind this thing and everything he said still works today. It is a law book for life. And it ain't never going to change. It's going to work for Lisa. It's going to work for her daughter. It's going to work for Deborah. It's going to work for every one of us. And it don't make any difference whether we believe it or not. It's going to work. Because God wrote this book, didn't he, young lady? This is his words. You know, do you think he's big enough to make these things come to pass? Sure he is. So those who control their tongue will have a long life. Now, sometimes when somebody does something to you, you really need to, instead of letting that thing flap, you need to stick it out there and bite on it real hard and then see how hard it is to talk with your tongue bit. It's really hard to talk. So until you can get to where you can control it, keep it under pressure. You see? It's hard to fuss at somebody or cuss them out or do anything else if you got your tongue bit between your teeth. Because if that tongue don't move, you can't talk. It's got to move. So if you think you're going to say something that's not going to glorify God or not going to edify the person, bite your tongue. Just hold that thing down and you'll find out that those who control their tongue will have a long life. Now, if you've got a sharp tongue and you go around cutting people down and saying bad things to people all the time, you don't realize what you're doing is you're shortening your life. Is that what that's saying? That's what that's saying. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. A quick retort can ruin everything. How easy is it to give a quick retort? I ain't going to zip that thing up, are you, girl? Oh, me. Is it easy to come back with a quick retort? Oh, yeah, it's easy. I mean, it takes some work. It takes some work. You know, I've done it. I mean, we've all done it. You know, I've done it far too many times in my life. Lazy people want much but get little. Is that true? Yep, the lazy ones, they want the nice house. They want the nice car. Ooh, they say, gee, I wish I could live in that nice house you live in. I wish I could drive that new Lexus that you're driving. You know, of course, I don't drive a Lexus or nothing like that. I'm just talking about y'all, you know. But I mean, there's not anything wrong with that, you know. But I will say one thing. If you're driving a Lexus, you've probably done something right in life, and you've probably been a very hard worker. More than likely, it was not handed to you. Now, there may be a few of you out there that daddy passed something down or mama passed something down, and you were really blessed, and that's okay. But I can tell you, if daddy did it, then daddy worked hard. But somebody worked hard. You know, somebody worked hard and spent midnight hours and provided that so you can drive that, so you can have that nice house. Lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. So I'm not afraid of hard work. I can lay right down beside you and go to sleep anytime. No, that ain't the way I do it, is it, Dave? Today I got tickled when we were trying to get ready to come here just late this afternoon. We were putting, we was getting ready to go to the post office, really. And we were putting sacks of mail. We had, I think, 41 bags of mail today. Over $2,000 worth of postage just today. Just today. But that's something, isn't it? $2,000, over $2,000 worth of postage, 41 bags full of mail. to take to the post office. And Dave's running, Phil's running, and I'm running, and I run back in to get the checkbook so I can pay them at the post office. And the girls are standing there, watch this. I come running through, and the girls all spread said, "Look out, he's coming back through." They knew I wasn't walking late. So they take the babies and jump out of the way right quick so nobody gets knocked down or run over. I'm in a hurry, run back, get the checkbook, run back out there. We jump in the van right quick, and little John wants to go, and Dave said, "Come on, right quick." Many of them running out the door, throwing him in the van. You know, that's the way sometimes we live our life out there. But sometimes we have to get with it. We only got so many minutes to get things done, and the girls that worked all night, they had been up, I mean, they were stamping, and of course, I don't know whether Krista was the one that broke the, was she the one, or you broke the stamper, but I think Krista's the one that brought it down to it. Boy, that girl can work. I mean, she lays them envelopes out in that tamper, bam, 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 bam. I mean, she's going 90 miles an hour with that thing. And then, of course, Cheryl Foddy broke it today. She was stamping with it too. But they're putting our return address and all that stuff. And boy, when you got 7,000 pieces of mail to stamp, that's a lot of them, you know it? But those girls in the last couple of days have worked day and night to get these things out. They definitely is no lazy people around the ministry center. I mean, whenever Rosemary, you can say amen to that, right, Rosemary? I mean, there was some hard work going on around that place. Lazy people want much, but don't get little. But get little. In other words, somebody, if you're lazy, don't come out to ministry center because we're going to drive that devil out of you. That's for sure. You won't get to keep him long. But those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next ones. Those who are godly hate lies. So those of us that are godly, we're supposed to hate lies. The wicked come to shame and disgrace. Godliness helps people all through life. So what does godliness do for you? Helps you how long? All through life. So you think it's going to pay? Lisa, is there any difference in your life from the time you were godless and when you become a godly? Oh my. I know your background. That's why I was going to ask you that question. Some people hadn't lived where you've lived, but now then you've found the godly side.
Right.
And your life has been totally changed, hasn't it?
Damascus Road experience, that's what I have.
A Damascus Road experience, just like Paul. Praise the Lord. And your eyes were open, and life's lots better on this side, isn't it? Now then you can only say, "I wish I'd have known this when I was my daughter's age." If you could have known this, how much better your life would have been. But see, we read these kind of things, but here's a little lady that knows it works. She's been there on the other side when her and her family were not godly. And so she lived in a godless world, and it was wicked over there. It was wicked. But godless people, or godliness, helps people all through life. If we could only teach the principles of godliness, the principles of the kingdom, to our children, all of them, all the way through. That's amazing. Today, one of the airline operations that I am associated with, called the AOPA, the Airplane Owners and Pilots Association, they sent me a stack of about 10 different Christmas cards, wanting me to order some of these to give to people. And I read through every example. And I picked up the phone, called them. And I said, "You know, you said call if you want to order these." She said, "Yes, how many would you like?" I said, "None." She said, "What did you call for then?" I said, "To tell you that this is Christmas is Jesus' birthday. At least that's the day we celebrate Jesus' birthday. And not one single thing or not one single one of these that gives glory to Jesus. They talk about Santa Claus. They show Christmas trees. But nothing that shows the Christ child. Nothing talks about Jesus." And I said, "I'll tell you what, I'd like to talk to the manager." And so she connected me to the manager. And I told him my same thing. And I said, "You know, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then you need to start putting Christmas cards out that glorify the King. It's his birthday. I don't think he likes it the way we're doing it." And I said, "If you're a Christian, you need to do it God's way." And he said, "Well, sir, I'm sorry, I don't have control over that." I said, "Well, okay, if you don't have control over that, take me off your list. I don't want ever to have another one of these things sent to my home."
Amen.
He said, well, we can do that. I said, I'm a godly man. If it don't glorify my king, I don't even want it in my house. So take me off the list. That's what I told him. I think it's time the Christians start standing up. You know, I mean, we have backed down and let the world run over us. We've backed down and let a woman, Madeline O'Mary O'Hara, take, you know, prayer out of school, and then we just went downhill from there. Yeah, I know. I mean, but who can stop that? We can. We got to start doing something for Jesus, right? I mean, this year, we ought to walk down the street saying, praise God, it's Jesus' birthday. You glorifying the King? You know, somebody starts looking at a Santa Claus deal, walk up and say, just tell all everybody that, you know, this guy here, this guy, he's just some man in a suit. He's not real. He's not the reason for the season. The reason for the season is Jesus. When my kids was born and coming along, I never told them Santa Claus was real. I said, this is Santa Claus. Daddy is the one that brings the presents and puts under the tree. This thing about Santa Claus is just a fake deal. I said, Jesus is a reason for the season. Both my kids grew up knowing what Christmas was about. You know, they had, you know, they looked at that. Yeah, we had Christmas. We give each other gifts. We done those kind of things. But they never looked to Santa Claus as nothing. I mean, I don't want them to believe that this guy in this thing is something to do with Christmas. He ain't going to climb down the chimney and bring them a gift. That's a lie. That's a lie, and I don't want my kids to grow up thinking Daddy's a liar. If I lie to them about that, what else will I lie to them about? Did God say He hates lies? So I ain't going to lie to mine. I'm going to tell them the truth. Somebody said, you're a little too far out. Okay, that's where I am. I'm just going to get further out. I sure ain't going to get no closer in, I'll say that. I'm going to get further out there for Jesus. Those who are godly hate lies. The wicked come to shame and disgrace. Godliness helps people all through life, while the evil are destroyed by their wickedness. Now, wait a minute. If you're not godly, then what are you? You're wicked or evil, and the evil are destroyed by their wickedness. So you see why people die? Because they're not doing what God says. Who is behind this law that's making it come to pass?
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.